Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson of the day found in Matthew 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. He said to him, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. As Jesus was reclining at the table in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners were actually there too, eating with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "The healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In fact, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is our text. Dear people of God, there are different ways to read these stories about Jesus. You can read them bringing nothing to the table and just waiting to hear the word of the Lord. That's fine. A person could read them like a Pharisee, wondering what lie this so-called Savior is trying to put over on us today. I don't recommend that. A person could read these stories like someone in the crowd. Someone who has no idea what Jesus is about to say, but is interested to hear what this Messiah is going to do today. You can read these words like a believer, someone who knows the stories, someone who waits with bated breath for these gospel nuggets from our dear Lord. I like to read the stories as if I were standing behind the disciples. I imagine that they were short guys. And I can look over their heads and see the Lord talking, but I can also see the reaction on the disciples' faces. Now, it's maybe no surprise that my favorite apostle is Peter, and so let's try to watch this story while also watching Peter and the others react to what Jesus has to say today. Up to this point, Jesus had mainly called fishermen to be his disciples, and all of the disciples were from Galilee, except for one. There was one from Judah, from a town called Kerioth in Judah. That name of the town attached to his name, and everybody called him Judas Iscariot. Probably should have left him off. Also in the group of apostles is a man by the name of Simon the Zealot, someone who hated the Romans, hated their oppression, and really would hate paying taxes to the Romans. The current disciples had all heard Jesus give his Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon ever given. They had seen Jesus heal many people. They had even seen him calm the storm, although walking on the water is a bit in the future yet. As we walk with Jesus today, looking over the heads of the disciples, we're in Galilee, along the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is walking along one of the heavily traveled roads, and he walks up to a tax booth. Now, this tax booth could be used as a toll booth, charging people for coming through, but it's bigger than that. It's also a place to pay your taxes. And you can see the disciples, as Jesus wanders over to this tax booth, saying, Jesus, that's a bad idea. Nothing good is going to come from you messing with the tax guy. And to everyone's surprise, Jesus leans into the tax booth and he says to the guy sitting there, "Follow me." Jesus, don't do that. We don't want that guy with us. He's a traitor. We hate him. The way taxes worked in those days was that the Roman Senate would set the tax rate for all of the occupied nations. And let's just say the tax rate upon the Jews was $1 million. The governor of the region then was responsible for sending $1 million to Rome. So he would hire people to collect those taxes and order them to collect $2 million. Because the governor's got to eat too. Those men then would hire underlings to actually collect the taxes from the people in the towns, and they would give an order of $3 million. All the way down to the guy sitting in the tax booth who has signed an agreement with his boss to deliver $50,000 to him, but he's going to collect $100,000 because that's how he gets paid. But what that does to the taxpayer is it makes him furious. Because he now has to pay four or five times what he knows Rome has asked for in taxes. And so all of the hatred, all of the snide remarks, all of the evil stares fall down upon this poor guy sitting in the tax booth. The Jews hated them. They hated these tax collectors so much that just by taking the job meant you were kicked out of the synagogue. Excommunicated just for having a job. So why would anyone take the job? Well, all the landowners owned the land. There's only so many fish in that little Sea of Galilee. And you could beg, but this job paid pretty good. Plus, with most people, if their job takes them away from church, oh no, I guess I can't go to church. The tax collectors were seen as traitors, as pariah, as godless, as just great big jerks. I would compare them to our modern-day drug dealer. Someone that the regular citizen wants nothing to do with. Someone that a citizen would say they chose that life, they can sit in it. All right, back to Jesus and Peter. As Jesus is leaning into the tax booth, Jesus says to Matthew, and Matthew's his Greek name. Everybody had two names in those days. His given name, his Hebrew name, would be Levi. But he chose a Greek name, Matthew, and that's also the name by which he wrote this book of the Bible that we're reading. This is the same man. Jesus says to him, "Follow me." And he does. Jesus has spoken to a man who knows his sin, who hates his life. Jesus has thrown this man salvation, not only in death, but salvation in life. And by God's grace, Matthew has grabbed onto it. And now to verse 10. Our translation goes like this. As Jesus was reclining at the table in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners were actually there too, eating with Jesus and his disciples. But in the original Greek, this sentence is way more shocking. It goes something like this. And then it happened that as Jesus was reclining in Matthew's house, look, many tax collectors and sinners had come and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Peter and the disciples. They're sitting there in Matthew's house. Matthew insisted that Jesus and the boys all come over because he was going to thank Jesus properly. He was going to show Jesus how determined he was to leave his life of sin. Plus, it was an opportunity to show his friends, the man who saved him from his sin and guilt. And so they're at the house, and Peter and the disciples are surrounded by these people. The disciples all answered Jesus' call to follow me. Matthew wasn't the only one who got this command. All of them were told by Jesus, follow me. Do you think they know what that meant when Jesus said it? Do you think they knew they would have to follow Jesus to some very uncomfortable situations? Follow him into persecution. Follow him to the cross. Even follow him to a slimy, greedy tax collector's house? Probably not. And now here they are, surrounded by these tax collectors and sinners. Now, I was taught that when you read the word sinners in the New Testament, you're supposed to think of prostitutes. But in our day, I think the word prostitute is softened with all the kidnappings and the sex trade going on. Maybe better here would be the word pimp. People who are in the sex trade on purpose. People who know what they're doing, who are living this life of sin upon sin upon sin and are fine with it. The disciples are surrounded by tax collectors and traitors and pimps and prostitutes, people you wouldn't allow on your lawn, much less in your house. That's who Jesus and his dear disciples are sitting with and eating with and celebrating with. And let's give the disciples the benefit of the doubt here. Let's say that the disciples get it. Let's just say this is one of the days, one of the few days, that the disciples understand what Jesus is doing, that he's showing mercy upon these terrible sinners. What a wonderful Savior we have, that he can reach out even to these people. But then, the Pharisees show up. Oh, crud. Not these guys. And there's no way the Pharisees go into the house. They wouldn't be caught dead in there. The Pharisees must catch the disciples outside after the meal, or maybe it's even the next day. It doesn't really have to flow so quickly as the text says. We don't know when they catch them, because the disciples aren't always right next to Jesus. The disciples are not Jesus' security. They're his students. They're followers. And when there's a big crowd around Jesus, the disciples can get pushed to the side. And sometimes they go on errands also. We see them do that. They can tell where Jesus is by the crowd. They can tell by how the crowd moves. But they're not always right next to him. So you can see how the Pharisees could corner a disciple or two and give them the business. Hey, Peter, big shot. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That becomes a regular complaint of the Pharisees against Jesus and the disciples. If your master is so holy, why is he hanging out with such scum? If your master was really holy, he would be seeking our approval. People are going to talk. By cavorting with such people, your master looks really dirty. The Pharisees were the worst of people. They were not trying to help. They were not giving Jesus good advice. They were not helping the disciples at all. All the Pharisees were doing was trying to feel superior by embarrassing the disciples. They were trying to feel good by making them feel terrible. I'm good because you're bad. But then Jesus appears out of the crowd. Now the Pharisees thought that Jesus couldn't hear because he wasn't there. But we know that the Lord doesn't need to be there in order to hear. Jesus knows. And he often read the Pharisees' hearts and minds in order to try to drive them to repentance, like he did to us last week. And so Jesus says to them, The healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. And maybe the Pharisees were arrogant enough to agree with this. To say, yeah, he's right. Those people are truly sick. It's actually kind of nice for Jesus to want to help them. But if you continue with that thinking, you end up with the healthy. Because if those tax collectors are the sick, then we Pharisees must be the healthy. Jesus is approving of us. Jesus is saying that we're holy, that we're doing just fine. But those of us who love sarcasm can see that Jesus' statement here is dripping in sarcasm. Oh, you guys are so healthy. You guys need the most help of anyone. You are so full of sin, but you don't even know it. You're full of this cancer of sin, but you won't admit it. A broken and embarrassed sinner is much easier to save than a pompous, rich fool who thinks that he has life all figured out. And then Jesus tells them, go. And we're not going to zip past the go too quickly here. Jesus, in telling them go, is telling them to go away. Leave the disciples alone. Stop messing with them. They're not ready for this yet. I can handle you, but the disciples, I just called them. They're just learning. You guys, go away. And with that, the Pharisees have to go away. Because this is the Lord talking. And the Lord always takes care of his own. You guys go away and do your homework. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. See, the Lord wants our hearts. So much better than false, outward obedience to the word is the broken heart of the repentant sinner. Certainly the Lord is quoting Hosea 6 here, but the idea is much older than that. David wrote about it. David was a man who knew sin. He knew it well. But David also knew the Lord's mercy, and he knew that better. It was David who wrote in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's what the Lord wants from us. Repentance. Humility. The realization that I have no chance of saving myself. And so I must trust completely on Him for forgiveness and salvation. And that's what Matthew found. Matthew found a merciful God and a Savior for his soul. And that's also what is here and available for you. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who is so merciful and so powerful that he can even save sinners like Matthew and like me. Amen.